The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 377. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Before I talk a little bit about my guests, I would like to highlight real quickly that next weekend I am going to be back with the Buckeye Wrestling Alliance. I'm going to be doing some ring announcing at their next big show, which is happening on the 29th of April. It is going to be held at the Skylight in Newark, Ohio. 7 p.m. is the bell time. The whole card is called It's Going to Be Mayhem. Little punny there being with the title of the show. But nonetheless, 8 big matches at the Skylight. I got to tell you, This will be the second show at the Skylight, and it's a beautiful, beautiful venue. It's actually a little more classier than what I anticipated, to be bluntly honest, but it's a great venue. Lots of room, a lot of great fans showed up on the first time that BWA ran at that venue. Definitely check it out. Come on out. You could check out all the information just by searching for Buckeye Wrestling Alliance on Facebook. And there you can get information about where you can get tickets, rundown of the card, and whatnot. So looking forward to it next weekend, being back in the BWA. Well, now let's talk a little bit about my guest who is joining me on this episode. And he's a guest that is making his 6th appearance. Last time we spoke was last fall. And I'm talking about Frank James Bailey. Now, Frank is the creator of a very family-friendly comic called Turkana, and he has the 7th issue ready to go. He just needs a little bit extra help, and that's why he's going to be talking about the Kickstarter that he launched about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it's going to help with the publishing of the book, and he's gotten 7 issues under his belt, and Turkana is very popular with the audience that Frank has built. In fact, we'll talk about it in our conversation, that he's got people submitting fan art from all around the world. And that's something that's really darn cool. We'll also talk about his endeavor into a novel that is a little bit more on the adult side, if you will. The novel is called The Taming of April, and it's kind of like a rated R rom-com, I think is the best way to describe it. And that's the way that Frank describes it. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And a whole lot more, so you definitely want to stick around for my conversation with Frank. But I think at this particular time, I need to thank a great sponsor. That, of course, is World's Greatest Comics. As I've told you many, many times on this podcast, that this comic book store is amazing. That's right. They got everything you need for your fandom of comics, whether it is single issues, whether it's graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They are so numerous that you probably can find some of those missing issues you need to make your collection 100% solid. So, you want to check out the store and you're in Central Ohio? Well, just swing on up to Westerville because they're located at 5974 Westerville Road. If you are somebody out of the area, well, don't worry. You can check them out online at wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook at wgcomics is their handle over on that social media outlet. And I want to thank Jeff and all the great folks at World's Greatest Comics for being a sponsor. I truly do mean it. I know I say it every time I do this this little plug, but I do mean it. I mean, their support has been awesome throughout the years. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Frank James Bailey. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, I am sitting down with Frank James Bailey, once again joining me on the PVD cast. This is appearance number 6, by the way, Frank.
Wow. You're keeping
track at home. But Frank, you are the creator of Turkana and a book called The Taming of April, which we'll talk about both of those. But we haven't talked since last fall, actually. So how have things been?
Not too bad. You know, just doing the voiceover work stuff, trying to prepare for the Kickstarter that I have going on right now. I did release The Taming of April into Amazon and in book form and stuff. So, but yeah, and not too bad.
You sound very, very busy.
Well, yeah, I you know, but my wife seems to think this, like, what do you do downstairs? Like, I'm doing a lot, trust me. Like, before I was talking to you here, I was actually scheduling posts to put in my Turkana Facebook page, to put on my Instagram, because you got to schedule these things ahead of time to, you know, and plus I work with Canva so I can make these memes about where I'm going to be, that kind of stuff. So
there's always something to do when you have
exactly.
A product. I mean, I know what you mean. There's always
just because I'm not selling something right now doesn't mean I'm not working.
Right. Absolutely. All right. Let's talk a little bit for maybe those folks that are joining us for the very first time. All right. Maybe. Okay. And I encourage you to go back into the archives and listen to Frank's other appearances. But nonetheless, can you give a brief summary of Turkana for those that are ignorant about what this book is all about?
Okay, so Turkana, it started off as 3 illustrated novels. Book number 1 was called Our New Home. Book number 2 is called Dr. Kuna Bananagun. And book number 3 was called Trinity's Traps. Basically, Turkana is a princess who didn't want to be a princess anymore. When my daughter was 7, which is a long time ago, she's 16 now. When she was 7, she said, Daddy, I don't like princesses anymore. I like superheroes. So I took that idea and ran with it. And I created 3 illustrated novels. But in 2019, I created the Turkana comic books. The first comic was called Who is Thea Beaumont? People seem to love the comic books better. So from now on, I was just doing the comics. Now you can still find those first 3 original books on Amazon, and I still have a few copies here. But as I make more books that are different, I'm going to sort of phase out those 3 books. And I haven't done it yet, but I'm tempted to just kind of like rewrite those first 3 books without the pictures in it, make it one book so they can buy that and can see how the whole thing started. But that's another project altogether.
Can I interrupt for a minute while you're talking about that? While you're talking about that, have you ever thought about going back and doing those 3 books as just comics?
Well, it would be a lot of information.
Okay.
And
okay.
I have to hire a guy to make comics, you know, to draw the stuff. And it cost me so much money to have him make that. So I was thinking, well, the first 3 were kind of like, you know, illustrated novels. They were actually books. So it would probably be more cost effective for me to just take the pictures out, make them one big book, you know, and it's like, hey, Turkana, the intro, and okay, they can read it as a novel.
Okay.
You know, and this way the comics can still go on. And instead of buying all 3 of those books, you can just buy one book and start off from there, you know?
Okay. I see.
That's an idea that I want to get to eventually.
Sure. No problem. Anyways. So anything else? I interrupted you while you were talking about Turkana and the brief summary. Go ahead. Pick up where you left off there. I apologize.
Yeah, she looks like that's okay. She looks like a 15-year-old girl, but she's actually 150 years old. She ages 1 year for every 10 years on Earth. Her every superhero has an alter ego. Her alter ego is named Paige, which is after my daughter. I started the comics in 2019. There are actually 6 comics now. And you can find out more information by going to Turkana.com. But just so people know, there is a Kickstarter running right now. And I pretended that nobody knows about Turkana. So I've sort of introduced the characters. I introduced the first couple of comics. And sort of give them an introduction to the world of Turkana in the Kickstarter. Instead of just saying, oh, here's comic 7. Please help. You know what I mean?
You know, the one thing I noticed is that you put biographies in on that Kickstarter of the characters, which I think is a smart move. So
yeah.
Do you want to pick a couple and just talk about, there's a lot of characters. You have a broad universe. So maybe let's pick Paige and a couple others and describe it for the listeners as to what these characters bring to the table.
Well, generally, I don't have it in front of me, but generally I've known these characters for a long time. So Pakana is the superhero. She's the main character. She's the one with the long blue hair. She has these lightning bolts come out of her fingers, and she makes constructs. Her alter ego is named Paige T. Smith. I named her after my daughter. She's like a typical high school girl. She has long, dark brown hair. She has glasses. She resembles maybe Turkana, but the whole idea was not to make her look like Turkana at all, because I remember a show called Miraculous Ladybug where, you know, the alter ego had the exact same hairstyle, the exact same hair color and everything when she wore the mask. It's like, can't you tell?
Same could be said with Prince Adam and He-Man. It's like,
yeah, dude, true.
You just have a purple jacket on and tights, but it's you. You're He-Man.
Yeah. So that's why I made Turkana and Paige almost totally different. I mean, if it ever became a cartoon, they might sound the same, but they wouldn't really look the same. You know, so. Brittany is the second main character. In 2019, I put them sort of together to try to fight crime, and they work together very well. Brittany is Latina. She's 15 years old. She has a big family. She's a dad that's kind of strict with her. She's also, you know, a lesbian too, but she doesn't want to tell anybody. That was all part of comic number 5 coming out to a friend, because I know the Owl House is about all the you know, relationships and that kind of stuff. Well, I wanted her just to have a good friend to talk to, not really a relationship with her like person she's fighting crime with. So that's just her friend there. And Maya is one that was in book 2, the Dr. Goon and Banana Gun, but I used her more in the comics. So Maya has power. She's sort of like, if she meditates, she can, you know, kind of like reach into your head, but she doesn't control you. Just kind of like, hey, listen, you better make a left over here. Because you know? She can see things, see the world when she meditates. And she can also talk to animals too. She's a vegetarian. She's very hippie-like. And there's another friend named Brian, B-R-Y-A-N. He's a very nerdy kid. He has a crush on Paige, but Paige is kind of like oblivious to it. Then he really has an obsession with Turkana as well, because him and Brittany are the only two that really know that, you know, that's for, and then later on you find out that Maya knows too, because she kind of can't get into her head. So that's another thing too. Turkana can't be mind controlled.
How about some of the antagonists?
One of my favorite funny antagonists, which isn't in the comics, but is in book number 2 called Dr. Kuna Banana Gun. There's a guy in the very first page, first chapter actually, and his name was the Red Bandit. And he talks like this because Turkana has never caught anybody. He's, you know, he's supposedly the first supervillain caught by Turkana. He's like, you're not really a super, you got the guy's purse, dude. But I want to bring him back because he's funny, hilarious. But anyway, one of the main villains is a girl named Thea Baymont. That's where the whole arc of the comics is going. Who's this Thea Baymont character? And you kind of find out what she looks like and what her motivation is in comic number 4. But she's also in comic number 6 as well. Not going to reveal where, but you kind of, oh, wait a minute. So this whole arc is who's this Thea Baymont character. And a guy that works for her is a guy named Burmese. He's like 7 feet tall, 300 pounds. His stature is intimidating, but he uses like a snake charm necklace to mind control people. So he doesn't really need his physical stature. He just mind controls you if he looks at you. So, and he works for Thea Baymont.
So real quickly with Thea, you say that she's kind of hidden in, you said issue number 6, correct?
Technically, yes. But okay. her whole purpose at first is to find out who Turkana really is. Like what her secret identity is. She's you see who she is in comic number 4, her physical stature, once she's up to her motivation and stuff. So yeah, it's in comic 3 toward the end, all you see is her legs, you know, and you know, Burmese is talking to her. But in comic number 4, you actually see who she is. And she has that motivation of like, well, if there's no cops and there's no law, we're totally free. We can do anything we want. That's her motivation. Kind of like anarchy.
Okay. Gotcha.
And she talks about that in the same way as, well, she's feeding ducks. Well, the ducks can kind of go anywhere they want. They can do anything they want. It's like, well, yeah, but they're just ducks. Yeah. But she's trying to talk to you about, well, listen, if we didn't have any laws, we could do what we want. That's her motivation. There's more to her than just that, though. But yeah.
Well, let's talk about the new Kickstarter. It just launched, if I remember correctly, last week.
On Tuesday.
On Tuesday
the 11th. Yeah.
Tuesday the 11th. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a couple days ago from that. So, okay. We were recording on the 13th. So how's it going so far?
I think I'm about four or five backers, so not too bad. I'm hoping that this weekend, or rather, you know, my birthday works out pretty well for it. But I put the, I really need a minimum of around $500 because I've already paid my artist for the pictures, okay, and the pages and stuff and the artwork. I need the money to get it printed off. That's basically what the Kickstarter is for. And I'm offering a couple of things in the Kickstarter as well. There's going to be some special days where you can get some special deals. I might have some, there's some different stretch goals that are pretty simple, but if it goes really well, I'll add some more stretch goals. But generally, comic number 7 is called You Can't Save Everyone. And I was sort of inspired when I was watching this TikTok video about Spider-Man. This one guy was telling me about this issue of Spider-Man where he tried to save some people in a building and he couldn't save them in time or something. And something about there was a fire in the building. And no matter how fast he was, he just couldn't save everybody. So that's an interesting take on that. So I kind of inspired by that, and I use that word Tracana as well. Interesting fun fact, she actually saved somebody from a fire in the very first book, you know, Our New Home. That was one of the first things she did, was save somebody from a fire. But she had to make like a hose because the fire people weren't there in time. She had to make a hose, and she, you know, went up there and she had to save this little girl and stuff. But in this one, you know, it just so happens it's Brittany's uncle's house that's on fire. So it's a little more personal, and she has better gear to go into the building. But he's like, tells Brittany, listen, I'll take care of it. I know you're my sidekick or you're my helper and stuff, but I'll take care of this because I don't know how the building's going to fall. I can't save everybody. So she saves a little girl, and then she goes in back in to try and save the girl's dad, and the building explodes.
Oh.
I mean, the whole idea is, you know, you can't save everyone. And yeah, so yeah, that's, and then we go on from there and how she deals with that. But that's generally what, I mean, that's a synopsis of the whole of the comic right there.
Yeah, and I think that that's a great kind of theme to talk about, because I mm-hmm. think that sometimes that's overlooked in superhero comics, is that there are repercussions mm-hmm. for actions, whether good or bad. And I think that's a pretty cool plot.
Yeah, I thought so too. I mean, it's like, you know, everybody thinks a superhero can just swoop in and save everybody, but sometimes you just can't say. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it was the Spider-Man comics from the early 2000s when the September 11th stuff happened that yeah. he was torn apart. He didn't know what to do because he's the epitome of what superheroes should be. But then he's like, the firefighters, they're the actual heroes, that kind of thing. But the whole point is that he couldn't save everyone because something happened.
Right. So what are some of the perks, some of the stretch goals, some of the cool things you can get if you decide to plunk down your cash for the Kickstarter?
All right. So, well, some of the stretch goals. Oh, by the way, in case people haven't didn't notice this, when I go out to Comic Cons and stuff, I like to tell people, oh, yeah, it's a combination of like Kim Possible, Green Lantern, and you know, Static Shock. Some people have told me that. So I actually put that in a little meme on the Kickstarter. So if you like these particular things, you're going to love Tracana. I've heard it's a good way to, you know, get people interested in that. The stretch goals I have, I'm going to get a special bookmark made just for comic number 7, because the bookmarks went over pretty well at Comic Cons. People always seem to like them. Plus, I'm going to get a special pens made for Tracana as well, and a special keychains, because I figured these are things that, even though Tracana is for all ages, I'm sure it's mainly for like for kids, because people seem to like, you know, kids seem to like comics, especially superhero comics. And this is an all-age comic, so I fairly like keychains. And there's also a little hat, beanie hat, too. So there's, and then again, if I get to a certain point, I'll add more. But sure. Right now, yeah. My main goal is to get to the 500. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Get it funded.
Well, when does the Kickstarter end?
The Kickstarter ends on Mother's Day, which is May 14th at, I'm putting it around midnight. I didn't know for sure how Kickstarters work. I thought they would work the same way as, you know, as soon as you start, oh, wait a minute, you can end it whenever you want. Okay. I figured the idea was it's a weekend. Most people would probably be home on the weekends, probably getting ready for work and stuff. So hopefully that time will wind things down and maybe put me over like 1,000 or something, or 12, who knows, maybe two or 3,000. But
Okay, I'm going to ask real quick, since, you know, you got everything done for issue 7, and you just got to print the book. Can you walk us through the creative process for an issue? So from start to finish, what's the steps? Or is there no pattern? You just kind of go with the flow.
I know I want to go up to at least comic number 10. And I'm also working on a pitch for like a cartoon or for network stuff, but it had to be part of a pitch book. Anyway, but I can't keep the comics going to like 100. I mean, I'm not DC or Marvel, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I figured I'd go to like 10 should be good enough. I'll wind a certain story down. And my prediction right now is I know where I want to go with the next one. It's just the one after that I'm not quite certain. And this next one, number 7, doesn't really have to do anything with Thea Baymont. So I figured we'll pick up the Thea Baymont story with number 8. And I've also noticed, too, that a lot of times, and this is more economical with people, why people do this, but I notice a lot of times there's a certain storyline with independent comics that, well, this runs for like 3 to 4, maybe 5 issues. And then it becomes like a graphic novel. I guess I did it differently. And I probably kicked myself in the head for doing it differently, but it's done differently. Like number 2 didn't have anything to do with Thea Baymont. Number 5 had nothing to do with Thea Baymont. Number 7 has nothing to do with Thea Baymont. But it's, to me, it's like you need a couple of comics in there, kind of like a filler episode, I guess, that pushes a character movement and character development, which number 5 gave us a lot of character development on Brittany. Well, this number 7 is going to give us a lot of character development on Turkana. She can't save everyone, even though she's a hero. But then we get back to the Thea Baymont story in number 8, which the end of number 6, you find out like, she knows, you know, this Thea Baymont big bad person, she knows more than she thinks she knows now. So, but yeah, I plan on going to at least the comic number 10.
All right. So one thing I always marvel about when we talk about Turkana, as I said, this is appearance number 6 for you, is that you have definitely created a Turkana fan following. Mm-hmm. So can we talk a little bit about that for the new listeners that are maybe unaware of this fandom?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm very honored and humbled that people draw Turkana, and you can go to Turkana.com and actually see the people who have drawn fan art of Turkana, I'm very humbled by that, because the very first book came out in 2016. So, and it was just 3 novels, but now some people, matter of fact, there's a guy, I forget his name, Carrie or Cameron or something, but he was actually, he made a little, like a video, we didn't make a video game. He pulled a character and made a character of Turkana and made a character of Brittany, and they're actually fighting people in this video game. And he takes screenshots of it and put it in the group.
Wow.
Which I thought that was pretty cool. But the ironic thing was that same guy also bought The Taming of April. So I was like, that's cool.
Huh? Okay.
I'm thinking is some of the people who have loved Turkana, I'm noticing, like I said, I've been doing this since 2016. And it's been like, 7, 8 years now. So I'm sure a lot of those people who love that then are probably a little more older now to read The Taming of April. So
true. Very true. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I've had a lot of people, a lot of girls anyway, leave some reviews on Goodreads.com for The Taming of April who were big fans of Turkana. This one girl, like I said, her name is Samantha. She actually drew, and I posted this. I'm going to post this soon, but she actually drew some Turkana fan art, but she loves young adult novels, and she liked The Taming of April, but she also loves Turkana too. So that was pretty awesome. And I had no idea she knew how to draw. That was pretty cool.
What's the furthest location that you've had somebody send in artwork from?
Puerto Rico. Offhand? I think Russia. Somebody came from Russia, and we'll post it in the group, but they were from Russia.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's
wow, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Frank for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are a proud sponsor of the PVD cast, and they're also your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a friendly staff, a great pool system, a clean store. It's basically a 5-star comic book store. So you need to check out the store by stopping over if you're in the area. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their website. and they're very active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics.
All right, let's talk a little bit about The Taming of April, because you have it out. In fact, I believe the last time that we spoke last fall, we were talking about this project. So again, without maybe giving up too much of the plot, can you give us a brief synopsis of The Taming of April?
Okay, The Taming of April is a novel, not a comic. I want to make sure people know that. It is a romantic comedy novel, and if it was a movie, it'd be like the 40-year-old Virgin or the Wedding Crashers. So people can kind of relate. Oh, that's going to get an idea. So it's like a raunchy rom-com. So yeah, if it was a movie, it'd be rated R. The tagline is pretty simple. Can a wild girl find true love? So it's pretty much, there's a guy, his name is Adam. He has a breakup in the very beginning, and he wants to change his life, wants to better his life. So he goes from being a farmhand to being a security guard to being a cop. The whole book takes place within 2 years. And then this girl he gets a haircut from, because she's a hairdresser, her name is April. April Bender. She, again, it's, there's a lot of more or less adult humor jokes in this. Like she's known as the cut and blow girl. You know, the haircut and a blow dry.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And they kind of meet in a bar one time, and they're playing pool. And, you know, she's very flirtatious. She's wearing a shirt that kind of is a little bit revealing. Well, she's racking the balls together for pool, and he looks, wow, nice rack. You know, those kind of adult humor jokes. And she's like, well, I figured you'd like it nice and tight.
So it's not over the top vulgar.
It's not over the top vulgar. That. It's like I said, if it was a movie, it'd be rated R.
Absolutely.
You know, there's some parts in it, like, you know, she enters a wet t-shirt contest. I kind of have to describe it. I can't just say, well, it's a wet t-shirt. I kind of describe it. So what it's going through.
It's all clean fun, folks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, it may not be appropriate for your 8-year-old, but it's fine for your 18-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, there you go.
My nephew actually said something that's very interesting. I said, well, this, the con is for kids and this is more for adults. He said, well, you have older teens. Oh, yeah, true. I guess I've got, you know, 17, 8-year-old wouldn't mind reading it, you know. That'd be great.
How's been the response? Because I saw online you were recently up in Cleveland for a con.
Yeah.
And it seemed that people really liked The Taming of April.
Yes, I was. I'm glad people like The Taming of April. What I noticed right away was, oh, yes, all my comics are over here, and The Taming of April was over here on the other side. So I separated them both. I said, listen, I got this for kids. I got this for less adults. And some people were like, okay, the comics are cool, but what's that over there? Then I let them read the back. I want that. So, pretty cool. And I had two covers, and I still have two covers right now. One's a regular cover, and one's a special edition cover. That's kind of, if you like anime, it's more like more fan servicey. It's a little more revealing. But that cover's very limited time, and that one's $25. The regular cover is only $15. They're available on Amazon.com. All right, this is kind of funny, but I actually put it on my website, Turcon.com, as well. So it's like the second page on all the books I have. It's like on the bottom, okay. But it's there.
Okay.
And that's where this one guy actually ordered it off my website, which is fine. You know, I mean, I prefer to buy it off a website because, you know, Amazon's going to take their cut. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
And you know, one of the things I think we talked about last time too is having a variety at your table. And I think that that's one thing that a lot of, if that's the one thing I've heard most from a lot of indie creators is have a diverse sample so that folks know you can do a horror comic and also do a slice of life comic or a science fiction.
A superhero comic or whatever.
Superhero. Yeah, right. So I think that that's something that, you know, obviously you're providing a little bit of a different flavor for your two projects.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm currently working on a thriller as well. Something last, matter of fact, when my Kickstarter for The Taming of April kind of failed, I kind of went in like a little bit of a depression thinking, okay, am I ever going to do this? And something just hit me one day. And I came up with this idea of this guy who got divorced. He's living in a small town like Youngstown, Ohio or something. He's working in a factory. And then he really wants to write, but he suddenly meets this girl named Kim. KYM. And she's like, oh, well, I love your story. So like, he starts telling her these three different stories, and the stories kind of relate to his life of what he's going through in a totally creative way. So I'm working on that right now. It's about 200 pages into it. And again, it's going to be a novel, but it's a thriller. So it's something, again, something totally different than the comics, something totally different than the other thing. And hopefully, crossing my fingers, I'll have that out next year.
Well, speaking of the word Kim, I know you're a big fan of Kim Possible. And you're also a big fan of cartoons in general. So what are some of your favorite cartoons to watch?
Well, right now, The Owl House just ended. And that was a fantastic ending for a cartoon, The Owl House. I loved Amphibia as well. That was another fantastic ending. But one of the most creative cartoons that have come out in a long time, and I encourage anybody to watch, especially if you like comics, is Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. It just came out on Disney, I think like 2-3 months ago. The cool thing about it is when you're watching this, like panels of a comic come up right in front of you. And they're like, you know, the one girl's like, well, you need to do this. And they're squeezing, and they don't break the fourth wall ever so often, but they did in the very first one, which was interesting. It's like, well, you need to do this. Well, if we don't do that, then this series isn't going to last very long. Then they both looked at us. But that was the one time they ever broke the fourth wall. And there's a lot of other creative things about that particular show that's like, I really like that. And now the only thing I don't like about it is it doesn't have an overarching story arc, like a serialized storyline. So it's episodic, but it's still good though. It's very creative and I love it. So
yeah, I've heard very good things about it from other friends who have watched it. And you know, there's just so much to watch. I just, you know what I mean? Like it's hard to keep up and start new shows, at least in my opinion, because it's not like when we grew up, you know what I mean? When you had three channels and maybe you had a PBS channel. So there's four channels. You know what I mean? And you were stuck with whatever, you know, show was on.
If you were lucky, you had cable and you had about maybe 20 or 30.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That was not me. But yeah, you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think my grandparents didn't get cable until like maybe the early 90s. So
I was in the same boat. My parents were like, we're not paying for TV.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the antenna's for. And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, folks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. So let's talk real quick. You mentioned it, and I know that you started this, and I assume that you are still doing it. Let's talk about your TikToks, shall we?
Okay.
You're still doing them to help promote your stuff. So what can we anticipate if we decide that we want to follow you on TikTok?
Now, I'm trying to post a lot of my TikTok videos on YouTube Shorts as well, because I've noticed that the YouTube Shorts is another hot thing that's coming around. My son likes TikTok, but he's starting to like YouTube Shorts better. You know, I think TikTok's slowly changing. They have with TikTok, you can make up to like a 3-minute video. But with, you know, YouTube Shorts, it has to be 60 seconds or less. So that's like the old way of what TikTok was. I mean, anyway, so I have like 8,900. I'm really close to 10,000, but not quite there at 10,000 yet. I still do mainly cartoon reviews, movie reviews, some series review stuff. But I haven't done in the past week because I've been preparing for the Kickstarter. It's like, I knew the Owl House was ending, so I wanted to make something for that. And I went out and saw the Mario movie. So I did a little review for that. But again, I'm trying to make some videos. I'm going to make one today about my your birthday coming up and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I didn't make a whole lot of reviews because I'm concentrating a lot on making memes and trying to promote this for the Kickstarter.
I have to ask real quick because I had in December the option and the opportunity to host a panel about the new Mario Brothers movie. What did you think of the new Super Mario Brothers movie?
I liked it. But I didn't really like super, super, super love it. The only thing I didn't super love about it was some of the voice acting was good. But like to me, Mario talks like this. Mm-hmm. I grew up with Mario talking like this. He talked like that sometimes in the movie, but not all the time. I don't get it.
That's what the big buzz was all about. The big controversy at GalaxyCon when I hosted that panel is that people want Chris Pratt to do the voice, you know, and you know, even though
they didn't or did not want him to do it,
they wanted him to do it.
Oh, okay.
You know, and you know, a lot of people also brought up, well, you know, it's not like in the 90s, you know, people are a little more sensitive now and all that jazz, but it didn't matter. People wanted that. That's what you know Mario as, you know, with the over-the-top stereotypical Italian accent.
Yeah.
And that's what caused a lot of the controversy.
Now, on the other hand, on the other end of the spectrum, it was amazing. It was like, you know, my eyeballs were like popping out of my head because it was just spectacular. It referenced a lot of stuff from the games. I have Super Mario 8 that I've played with, I think Mario World 8, and I played with my son a lot. And there's a lot of references to that too. So yeah, the video game references to a lot of things was this perfect spot on. I loved it. There wasn't a whole lot of story to it, but again, it was like a visual expectation for my eyeballs. I loved it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and my son loved it, but my wife was like, yeah, it's kind of a snooze fest. Really? I mean, there's this big, if you've ever played Mario, but there's one star that like makes you invincible for like, you know, a minute, you know. So they're trying to find that. And that was, yeah, it was really, I thought it was good, just not great because some of the voice acting wasn't what I expected.
Okay. All right. And you would know, being a voice actor, and you've done a lot of different productions, a lot of different gigs, a lot of different jobs, whatever you want to say. So I that's why I threw that out there. Just when you mentioned you saw it, I was just curious what you thought.
Yeah, some of the my voice actor friends who are a little more famous than me, I'm not famous at all, but like Tara Strong and some other people are like, well, why didn't you get this guy to do the Mario? Because he's the one, you know, he's been doing it for a long time, you know. So, but you know, in all, it was a pretty good movie. It's just some of the voice acting wasn't what I expected, but it was still good though. Seth Rogen, I think, not Seth, maybe it's Seth Rogen. Plays Donkey Kong.
Yeah, that's Seth Rogen.
Yep. Okay, that's what I thought, yeah. I mean, he plays an okay Donkey Kong, but then again, he's playing Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong.
Right.
He has that voice and laugh, but it's like, Donkey Kong doesn't laugh like that. But it kind of worked. It was kind of funny.
You know, in the previews, that was the thing I mentioned. I was like, Seth Rogen's just playing himself, which yeah. Frequently does in every movie. Anyways.
But Bowser, oh my God, Jack Black as Bowser was great.
Okay.
He was really, really good.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to wrapping this up and let's remind folks where they can find you online, website, Kickstarter, all that stuff, Frank. So let's run it down, shall we?
All right, let's do the first things first. If you go to Turkana.com, that is T-E-R-C-O-N-A, Turkana.com, the blog on top is about how to find my Kickstarter. But you can also find it all about the characters there. You can also find about the books and stuff. But yeah, I'm running a Kickstarter right now for Turkana comic number 7. If you go to Kickstarter and you just put in the word Turkana, T-E-R-C-O-N-A, there's two of them, but the first one is from 2020. The second one is for the newest one, and that's the one that's I'm running right now. If you've never learned anything about Turkana, don't know anything about Turkana, you can just go right to the Kickstarter, and it has a little character bio of all the things, has a little bit of like, okay, here's what you missed in the first couple of comics, and it explains like, you know, this is what I'm doing, here's my artist, that kind of stuff, and I'm hoping to raise around $500, hopefully more than that, but that's my short-term goal of the Kickstarter, is to at least make $500 so I can get number 7 printed off. But yeah, you can also check out my voice acting stuff on frankjamesbailey.com. I've done voice acting stuff for liners for radio stations, TV stations, YouTube videos, that kind of stuff. A lot of my demos is on that. Plus the blog on there also does that as well. But I'm the easiest person in the world to find because 99% of my stuff is the same name. You can just go to Google and put in Frank James Bailey. You can find my Instagram. You can find my Twitter. You can find my YouTube. You can find me on, you know, Facebook. You can find me everywhere. Mastodon, whatever else. Whatever's out there. I'm using Tumblr a little bit more now, too. So
you've become the master of all social media.
Yeah. Well, I'm not an influencer, but I've mentioned that to somebody in Cleveland. I'm thinking, what if I could just make some videos for you? Maybe, you know, be an influencer. Maybe might give me a table if I could make some videos for you. I haven't talked to him yet, but it's like, I am all over the place. So,
hey, real quick, do you have any upcoming places that you're going to be in the next few months?
Yes, I'm going to DEFCON 8 in Defiance, Ohio. This is like a library-sponsored thing. So on Saturday, May 6th, which I know is free comic book day, but on Saturday, May 6th, I'm going to DEFCON 8, which is the Northtown Mall in Defiance, Ohio. It's free admission. Again, the Northtown Mall in Defiance, Ohio. There's the Jim and Dan Comic and Toy Show, which is on June 11th. That's a Sunday. And I just added this one like yesterday. And I'm also going to the Piqua Comic Con on Sunday, June 4th. And that's at the Miami Valley Center Mall.
Okay. So you got some things lined up. And so definitely, if you happen to go to any of those events, stop by Frank's table. Say hi. Grab a book or two, if you will.
Yeah, that'd be great.
There you go. I'm willing to chill for you. Exactly. All right, Frank, with that, hey, thanks again for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, man.
You got it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Frank James Bailey, talking about Turkana, the Kickstarter for issue number 7, The Taming of April, and a whole bunch of other things as well. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and you can let me know if you did or if you didn't through a couple different avenues. First, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds of this podcast. Just search for at PVDcast. If you want to be a little bit old school, and I don't mind that, you can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. As you know, there are lots of ways to get this podcast, but maybe you need to tell somebody. So let me give you some help with that, okay? It's very, very easy to remember all the different places you can hear this fantastic podcast. First, pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is probably the best way. But you can also listen through any of those major podcasting outlets. All you got to do is go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And I need to remind you that if you listen through any outlet, whether it's Spotify or Stitcher Radio, et cetera, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribe so that you never miss a single episode of the PVDcast. Wait a minute. There are two other places where you can find the PVDcast. And of course, I'm talking about through the Facebook broadcast that I like to do every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can tune in. You can check out the episode that way. And if you're a fan of internet radio, I'm proud to announce that I and the PVDcast are now on Croc Radio, CROC Radio, out of British Columbia. So just go over to wherever you find great internet radio stations, put in CROC, and there you'll get all the information and the schedule and whatnot. And I want to thank again the fine folks at CROC Radio for giving me the opportunity to be part of their great family. All right, well, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I think I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the podcast. I greatly, greatly do appreciate it. And with that, I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2023.